We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Belichick's got eyes. Does he look at that and think, I have created value for Mac Jones? There's nine teams that need a quarterback. We're talking about where Russell Wilson's going. Nobody mentions New England. I'd like to have that defense, that offensive coordinator, and that head coach.
Okay, so Bill Belichick this year, according to Colin Cowherd, was propping Mac's value up for other teams. That's what he's going to do. He's going to trade Mac Jones. That's what Bill was planning on this whole season, Fitzy. So this was all a fake thing so you could entice other teams to try to trade for Mac. Does he realize how dumb that sounds?
You've got to be kidding me that he never planned on eating the meal, that he just, you know, decided to go shopping for the groceries and start the prep only to try to trade it off to somebody else for something different. That's the most ridiculous take. Listen, we've trafficked in a lot of ridiculous takes, both ones we've imported and exported here at EEI for years. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it makes no sense, because what Bill would be doing is he'd be trying to trade his soon-to-be second-year quarterback. What would another team think? Like, wait, he's calling us about this kid? He must hate him. He must think he sucks. Like, that would make no sense. Like, what would his value be if Belichick's putting him on the open market? Other teams would think, oh, crap, there's something wrong with him, right?
Like, yeah, what does Bill know about this kid? Like, he liked him so much, he brought him in from the Patriots of college football, and after a year, he's out on the kid? Like, can you think of a comp to this where somebody like, I mean, Danny Ainge let everyone know he didn't want Markelle Fultz right from the get-go, at least. Can you think of a baseball, basketball comp where someone had someone for a year, thought that he was going to be a cornerstone for the future, and then was like, nah, I'm good?
No, and just said gave up after 1 year. That went pretty well for a rookie quarterback. No,
for a rookie?
Yeah.
Who wasn't exactly surrounded by a bunch of fantasy football all-stars either.
Yeah, and I mentioned it too. Like, I feel like the system wasn't great for Mac Jones. The other thing I'd mention too, Fitzy, is just the fact that this whole idea of getting a number one option, I feel like that's priority one for this team. I know defensively they need to get faster at the linebacking core, et cetera, but I don't know how you don't watch these games that we've seen over the past couple of weeks and look around the league and say, oh, what are the Patriots missing? They're missing a game changer. You mentioned it with San Francisco. They have Kittle and they have Debo Samuel to help Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Even the elite quarterbacks like Rodgers had Davante Adams. Brady has Mike Evans that he's going to work with this afternoon, right? Josh Allen has Diggs. Mahomes has Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. So I know it seems like the most obvious thing, but how do the Patriots not try to get one of those guys in here, whether it be A, the draft, which I'd be fine if they do it in the first or the second round. B would be a trade. You mentioned Calvin Ridley, of course, who's been linked to the Patriots. And the third option would be free agency. And I know you got to play around with the cap things, but they have got to address that in one of those three ways this particular offseason.
A thousand percent. Belichick is going to want to have his hands in and involved with every aspect of the defense. And, you know, again, the whose job is it anyway? Who's calling what? And who do I report to is still kind of a mystery. It's kind of confounding, and it's caused a lot of confusion and dialogue here the past week, especially after the comments of, like, McCourty and Adrian Phillips. But, like, how can you not think that giving Mac Jones what he needs most, which is that dependable, true number one A alpha dog receiver, like, it is a priority? Look what it has done for literally every other team in the contemporary NFL. Now, guys like Lou Maloney think Belichick's going to go to Josh or whoever's the coordinator and say, no, I spent last year. I got you the tight ends. I got you some receivers. Like, you got running backs. Go do your thing. Like, I'm not spending on that again, which would be tough, but okay. I guess that could be kind of Belichickian, but I'll go back to Tom Brady post 2006. Tom Brady, the early years, was all based around, you know, running game, good decision making. He didn't hang it high and let it fly that often. It was a much more precise game. That was Charlie Weiss's offense. We're going to look at 2007 and beyond. When everyone says you need to get Mac Jones, this number one guy, and a lot of people like Karen Garigian, great writer for the Herald, say he needs a Binky, he needs someone with the twitch, a slot receiver he can depend on. I would argue he needs the big, tall, number one receiver, because Brady always had that. All those years, excuse me, with Welker and Edelman, it was always about the fact that he had Moss, who had great stats for 3 years. And then he had Gronk.
Right.
Like, he always had a giant, true number one he could depend on and go to. And then, of course, the slot receiver fed during all of that time as well. So I would say the number one, that is priority number one to me.
Yeah, you need that sort of the alpha and the omega of the offense that the team has to game plan for. And when it became, as you mentioned, like the new Patriots that became an offensive football team as Brady entered the prime of his career, you had to game plan for Gronk, right? Defensive coordinators had to figure out, all right, do I have a safety that can cover him? Probably not. So that means we're going to have to double team him. So that helps everybody else on the team. The same thing can be said for a guy like Randy Moss. And the Patriots, that has got to be the number one priority. And look, I feel like Bill has tried to address it before. Maybe he thought eventually N'Keal Harry would be that guy because he did spend a first-round pick on him. Clearly, he was wrong about that. But he's addressed it multiple times in terms of whether it be the draft or whether it be free agency. Now, he's missed on some of those opportunities. But I don't know how anybody surrounding that team could come across anything else besides that's the number one priority. Now, obviously, they need work from a defensive perspective again. But when I look at Mac Jones, just from like a talent perspective, obviously doesn't have the biggest arm, obviously isn't mobile, but he is super, super accurate. So I feel like if you get guys that are yak monsters, yards after the catch guys, like Deebo Samuel would be a really nice fit for that. Those are the type of players you need to target to make life easier for Mac Jones. You look at it at the collegiate level, like 42%, not 42% of his yardage at the collegiate level was yak. So that's what you need to get, yak monsters. Now, Bourne's really good in that role. Jonnu Smith is, but the problem is he doesn't catch, so that's kind of an issue.
I was going to say, the greatest deceiving stat in the history of not the Patriots, NFL, 8.5 yards yak, number one for all tight ends this year. Oh, really? Thanks a lot, Pro Football Focus, because that was on like the 21 most meaningless catches in history.
So, yeah, that's what they need to go. Like, so I'll give you the name that I want them to go after, Fitzy. This is number one on my priority list. And I know they'd have to do stuff from a salary cap perspective. My number one guy is, because he fills both needs, he is a legitimate number one option, and he also plays in the slot, Godwin.
Oh, wow.
Torn ACL. Okay, so maybe you get him a little cheaper than you ordinarily would. You take him away from Brady and Tampa, and, like, he would fit. He's basically a souped-up Edelman or Welker. That's my number one guy. Now, I know it's going to be difficult. I know that's a pipe dream. That's my number one guy, though. But I do think that Bill is going to do it in one of those three manners I mentioned, whether it be the draft, whether it be free agency, or via trade. He's going to do it. He needs to do it. There's no other way around it. Like, he needs that number one option for his young quarterback. But Godwin's number one on my list. I would love the Ridley thing. I'd love them to take somebody in the draft. But if they got Godwin, I would be so pumped.
Oh, wow. And you know Odell is not a number one anymore. Like, he's only now starting to, like, finally grow into being a number two. And look, a slot guy, you know, I'll dap you up on this one. A slot guy can be a number one because who's the best receiver in the NFL this year by a mile? A slot guy. Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, but he plays outside a lot, Fitzy.
He plays outside and inside, but he cut his teeth and made his name initially.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, well, he's a flex. Okay, like, actually, the guy can do everything. I mean, for all I know, he's going to throw a pass today and it's going to be a 50-yard dime. That guy is a football monster.
Cooper Kupp, how did the Patriots not get that guy?
Honestly, how did they not get Hunter Renfro? Literally, the guy, like, his college tape said, please, Bill, I want to play for your, much the same way Deebo, it's the last time I promise I'll ever mention this on this radio station audience, but much the same way Deebo literally took his interview, walked out, and went to his Instagram and said, I'll see you in a month, Billy. Hunter Renfro's college tape said, I want to be your new Edelman. I am standing at the door saying, please love me, Patriots. And he's gone to Vegas, and he has fed. He has thrived. He has grown. He's super dependable. I mean, he just literally looked like he was pulled from the ribs of Julian Edelman. But, you know, here we are looking for that next guy.
Yeah,
they need that. Absolutely. Wow, Godwin.
Yeah, and look, I know that Bill missed on Harry in 19, but it's never been easier, okay? and it is right now, to draft receivers out of the collegiate level and have them impact your team immediately. Just look at the past couple of years, right? Justin Jefferson has already emerged as one of the best receivers in the NFL. Ja'Marr Chase has already emerged as one of the best receivers in the NFL. Jaylen Waddle had an outstanding season for the Miami Dolphins. So it's never been easier to get that guy in the draft because of how they play at the collegiate level now. So if Bill doesn't do it via free agency or via trade, there are going to be guys at the back end of the first round, whether it be Jameson Williams coming off the injury, whether it be Treylon Burks, the kid out of Arkansas, those players will be available. So he's going to have the opportunity to do it if he wants to go that route. And just because one guy in N'Keal Harry didn't work out doesn't mean the next guy can't be a star for this Patriots team, because we've seen it happen with like half the NFL over the past 4 years. People are drafting star receivers.
Yep. It's an absolute need. Some teams are great. And if there's going to be some guys moving around the league, if anyone who's been involved with the receiver selection of the Rams or Pittsburgh from their front offices shakes loose, please find your way to one Patriot place. We'd appreciate that.
All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you up until 2:30. All right, so if you want to weigh in on what the Patriots need to do this offseason, what do they need to do to help the quarterback, you can. Plus, we're going to get into an issue apparently with the Patriots coaching staff. We'll do that next here on EEI.
Gresh and Keith, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, and it's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Go to carsforkids.com to donate today. Tom Brady, two wins away from another Super Bowl appearance. Jeff Darlington and Adam Schefter reporting today that Brady remains, quote, non-committal on playing beyond this season. The Bucs host the Rams this afternoon. Coverage will start at 2:30 right here on EEI. We'll have the Bills-Chiefs game for you following that one. The Bengals reserve their spot in the AFC title game after they beat the Titans 19-16 yesterday. The Niners knocked off the Packers 13-10. The C's on the road to play the Wizards this afternoon. The Green looking to avoid a three-game losing streak. The B's topped the Jets 3-2 on Saturday afternoon. Tuukka Rask finished with 22 saves. David Pastrnak scored. He now has 11 goals in his last 12 games. The B's will host the Ducks on Monday. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, welcome back in. We're taking you up until the first game, Tampa Bay and the Rams. Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you, 617-779-7937, the number. What do you want the Patriots to do to help Mac Jones? Do they have an issue with the coaching staff? That's on the table at 617-779-7937. Fitzy, real quick on this. So Kiper did mock Jameson Williams to the Patriots in his latest mock draft, the receiver, of course, out of Alabama. And the reason this kind of makes sense to me, well, for two reasons. So first of all,
he's injured, so it makes a ton of sense.
Yes, I'm not joking. That does
distressed assets. Bill yes. loves something like, if it's like, oh man, like, oh, this fruit fell down. Like 95% of the fruit is good, but it's got a little bruise on it, so we're going to only charge you half. Bill loves the yellow sticker part of the grocery store. 100%.
Well, think about it too, right? So Rob Gronkowski, second round. Why'd he drop to the second round? Because of the back issue. Mm-hmm. Now, this player didn't work out, but Dominic Easley, remember, he's coming off the ACL. Malcolm Mitchell had a knee injury at the collegiate level, as did Cameron McGrone last year. So Bill has done this on multiple occasions, that he's gone after a guy in the draft that was injured because he feels like he would have gone higher if the player wasn't coming off an injury. The other thing is just we all know the Saban connection. So it's now, I went back to since Saban was at Michigan State and Bill was with the Patriots staff, 13 mm-hmm. players that he's drafted that played for Nick Saban since Saban was at Michigan State. And that doesn't even count, of course, the undrafted guys.
Is that the number one Bill Belichick talent well university? Like, he always loves to, does he love to go to him? Because he used to love to dip in
Urban
the,
Meyer.
Urban Meyer and
Rutgers.
Kirk Ferentz. Yeah, obviously loved the Schiano talent pool at Rutgers as well. Funny, we haven't won, how many Super Bowls have we won since he hasn't taken someone from Rutgers?
Yeah, it's been a while, man.
We might need to get back into the Rutgers talent pool, dude.
And I look, everyone made fun of that, but those guys are like McCourty,
all
Harmon,
good pros.
Yeah, they were
They're
all good
pros.
Yeah. it is funny. Like everyone would like make fun of Bill for doing it. It's like most of the guys he took from there were actually pretty good players. Like,
yeah.
Well, Steve Belichick, okay, part of the coaching staff.
Long snapper.
He can help with the special teams.
I don't think Steve. And by the way, do you think Steve Belichick? Truly, like, are we going to scapegoat him the way, like, sometimes, like, the mafia boss has to, like, scapegoat the son when the organization has an issue? Like, I don't think Steve Belichick is, quote-unquote, the family's biggest issue.
And Fitzy, here's the thing about that. So, Greg Bedard had a piece on it, as did Tommy Curran this week, about the coaching staff. It does feel like something's got to be streamlined with the fact that Mayo has a lot of impact on the defense, and then Steve's the play caller, yet Matt Patricia's around as well, and of course you have Belichick. It does feel like that's going to be sort of more organized, don't you think?
It has to be. It has to get streamlined. The fact that guys are telling you that we weren't mentally prepared, and also we didn't know who to talk to or where to report, like, I don't think that is Gerard Mayo's fault, Mick Lombardi's fault, Steve Belichick's fault, Brian Belichick's fault, Johnny Belichick's fault, Freddie Belichick's fault. I don't think it is the problem of anyone inside the building, outside of, you guessed it, audience, Bill Belichick. Bill needs to, at this point, get into the I can't, like, do all of it point in his career. Like, I know he's a mastermind and he's a control freak and no one does it. But Bill, at the same time, I love to do everything in my house as well. But every now and again, somebody else watching my kids or someone else maybe running the vacuum in the floor or maybe like cleaning out my car, it feels really good. And it allows me to get something else done. And I'm not running maybe the most prominent franchise in the NFL. He needs to focus on the defense. He needs to name one guy to report to, whether it's him or if it's Steve or if he's going to bring in an outside voice for everyone to listen to and whip things into shape. Do it. You leave Josh or Billy O in charge of the offense. And streamline this, because right now it's a little too messy for my liking. And I think obviously a lot of the players will tell you the same damn thing.
And Fitzy, I think what happened, so we weren't talking about this in 2020, right? We were talking about how Cam Newton sucks and what's going on with the Brady Belichick divorce. We weren't talking about the defensive side of the football, even though they weren't good. We weren't talking about there's an issue with who's the play caller, who's in charge, right? We weren't talking about that last year. But because the Patriots were good this season, that's why it became a topic of conversation. And I do wonder this, Fitzy. It feels like, do you think that Bill thought that Flores was going to get a gig right away?
When he left the Patriots following
Super Bowl 53? Yeah, Patricia leaves and he gets the Detroit job. And Flores, did he even get the defensive coordinator title?
No, it was the 1 year sort of like you're the guy. Like Billy O didn't get the title for the first year before. Because he goes through that old Reagan routine. No,
right.
He didn't.
So I think what happened is the whole process kind of got sped up on the younger guys in this coaching staff, right? So Bill probably envisioned Flores at least doing that job for 2 to 3 years, right?
I bet he thought Flores was going to stick around for a while for sure, and that was going to be his guy.
Yeah.
He did want to get his family involved, But now he's like, oh, I don't know which way to go, so I guess I'm just going to finally do what I ultimately wanted to do, which is bring the family along and get them integrated as well. The defense has played very well at times. They're actually last year for like having one of like the smallest and most banged up defensive lines. The defense showed plenty of fight last year. They just didn't have the talent. This year, they got too old and too slow. The same mantra that Edelman and Brady used to their benefit on the Super Bowl 53 run. I'm not going to they shouldn't have lost by 30 points, and like they should have made Josh Allen punt once in each one of those games. But that's ultimately not the biggest issue. And I'll ask you this too, Barrett, because not much has been made of it at all on the station. Bill taking on a lot on his plate, like having too many positional groups and people to report to on the defensive side of the ball. Have we not made enough about how much it meant to Bill losing Ernie Adams?
Oh, yeah. Well, I said earlier this year that Bill sucks at the math this year, and it just so happens to be that Ernie Adams isn't around.
Huh? There you go, my guy.
So, yeah, I think that was definitely part of it. But I also look at it, I feel like it's just we're at a point like in the Belichick era where the coaching has gone dry and younger a little bit, right? And now, obviously, McDaniel's still part of the offensive staff, but he lost Patricia. Now Patricia has come back. He lost Flores. He lost a lot of coaches over the past couple of years. So I feel like this was Steve Belichick. He's in like basically year two or three, so to speak, of running the defense. And Gerard Mayo's in there as well. So I feel like it's going to take time until we can accurately judge what Steve Belichick is as a defensive play caller. Because remember, McDaniels, I don't believe McDaniels got the title of offensive coordinator right away. Did he after Weiss left? It took a while for him to get that title. So I feel like it's going to take a little bit. And McDaniels had the benefit of having Tom Brady. Steve Belichick, some of the personnel is good, like Barmore's good, Judon's good, but it's not as if this is a loaded group of talent that they had defensively this season. So it's going to take a little bit of time. But I do think the one fair critique on Bill is that it's not organized enough. And maybe there were Mayo guys versus Belichick guys, right? Maybe someone's like, well, I trust what Mayo's saying more than Steve Belichick, or there's some guys that trust what Steve's saying more than Mayo. So I do feel like if Mayo does get a gig somewhere else, it may actually help the team, because then you just know, okay, Steve Belichick's the defensive coordinator.
I couldn't agree with you more. It has to be streamlined. There has to be a process by which players understand who they're talking to, who ultimately makes the last decision. And Bill, you're the head football coach, and also you're the GM, and now you're sort of the defensive coordinator while you're helping out the kids and Gerard Mayo, and like it's too much on his plate. The less he has to worry about while still imparting his wisdom, his insight, and his genius on the positional groupings and the coordinators, the better going forward. That needs to be addressed this offseason as well.
All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Matt. He is in Rhode Island. Matt, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. I called in on Belichick, but I just like to go on this James White thing. Bolden played great, actually. He played a lot better than I thought he would, but replace James White in for the third down back this year and see what happens. You know, I think it would have been really a lot brighter, obviously. Really frustrating couple of years and tragic years for James White. I've been following his career because I'm from Pompano Beach, Florida, as James is. I'm much older. So every year I'll look at the Sun Sentinel all Broward County team, and I follow these guys through college because a lot of them, I mean, it's badass football, and a lot of them make it to the pros. So James White, man, the year before, Cam Newton couldn't hit him with a screen pass. But just let me just add this on James White, like with the tragedy that he had. His father was in law enforcement, but he was a lifelong football coach down there for youth football, and he helped a lot of kids. It's a really tough area. He really helped a lot of people, and I want James White back on the squad for leadership and his playing ability. So big up James White. Do you guys see about the Pat McAfee podcast when Allen went on there? And I was actually shocked because I've never heard this before, that Belichick actually went to the locker room and like, I mean, not too many coaches are going to the other team's locker room after a playoff, but you know, like, especially with the kind of the history with the Bills in the last, you know, this season and stuff. But yeah, I thought that was really cool. And Allen seems like a really humble kid. I'm pulling for him today, both in spirit and in my wallet. So enjoy the games, guys, today, and have a good one.
All right,
appreciate you, buddy.
So, by the way, we have that audio from here was Josh Allen on the Pat McAfee show talking about that.
Just more respect, like what you did out there was awesome. You played well tonight, and we didn't have an answer. And again, I shared the respect right back, obviously, because I'm a big fan of his. And like I said, I can go on and on about the accolades that he has. But again, for a coach to do that high caliber, it was pretty special.
So, did you have an issue with that, Fitzy, that he went into the locker room?
Nah, it didn't. I know it bothered a lot of other people.
Fourier was pissed about that, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He's like, stop, like letting other people know they're better than you, or stop, like giving people their due. Like that's not what we do. We dominate other people, and then when we lose to them, like we go back to we get pissed about it. And we go back to the lab, and we don't let them know that it bothered us. Then we come out and beat them next year. Like, don't go over there and like let them know that you appreciate them so much. That flies in the face of everything hard-nosed, cold, frosty, and Belichickian over the last couple of decades. It's bothered him. It's bothered other people. I don't care. Obviously, going to see Brady, that's one thing. But, you know, the whole Josh Allen thing, maybe he really, you know, some might say like, oh, Belichick's playing, you know, evil Sith Lord Jedi mind tricks, trying to get in his head and let him know he appreciates him to soften him up for next year. I doubt it. Maybe he's just appreciating it.
If he is, it certainly didn't work this year. So, hey, anything you try to do. You know what aggravated me more so than anything else about that, Fitzy, is like, I understand coming into a game with a certain plan that you think you're going to be able to execute. Like, his idea was, okay, we're going to make Josh Allen beat us 10, 11, 12 plays, right? So we're not going to blitz him a ton. We're going to make him have to sit there and go through his progressions. And, okay, so that's your idea going into the game. The problem is it was the same thing in both games. And you gave him all the time in the world in the pocket. The first game, 3.34 seconds. This time, 3.17 seconds, the most during wild card weekend. And he burnt you both times. So my issue with the game plan the other night is you have to change. You have to, and we've seen so many times in Belichick's career where they decide at halftime, okay, we're making this adjustment. And I felt like they just never adjusted to Allen. It's like they were amazed that Allen could do this to them. He already had done it to you earlier this season. Why don't you bring more pressure? Why don't you try to confuse him? It felt like you just kept showing him the same damn defense the entire game. I never understood it.
I watched a couple of various little breakdowns. Listen, I'm not gonna go like full football hardo, bro, and tell you that I all 22'd the entire game. I watched enough to see that there was defense that should have frustrated the Bills or at least given Allen pause one a couple and several times during the game. The kid just came out and had like a Pedro 1999 fastball against the Patriots. He knew where to go every time. He knew where, who was where. Like, this is the whole, like Brady used to say, I have all the answers to the test. Like, Josh Allen was the cheat code last Saturday night. They knew everything. It almost made you feel like they knew too much. Maybe Daboll has secretly been funneling enough information to them from all the time he spent there. And now Josh Allen and their arsenal of weapons and defense are good enough to be able to serve it back to Belichick, which, Barrett, going back to what we talked about a little while ago on offense and defense, tells you that you need more speed on both sides of the ball because other people have cracked your code. Like, the Enigma code of Bill Belichick has now been cracked by a few people, and so he's going to have to change the Wi-Fi password a little, if you know what I mean.
And what's scary, too, is, like, this is the guy that you have to play two times a year in the division.
And he's going nowhere. The whole AFC, all these guys, Mahomes, Allen, Herbert. God forbid if, you know, Sunshine Lawrence ever gets any good. A lot of these quarterbacks are really young. Like Lamar, how old's Lamar, 25?
Yeah, I'm not worried about him.
Well, neither am I, but like there's going to be a lot of stiff competition. The AFC has youngified and improvified, if you will, to make some wiggy words for you.
But, I mean, Allen's in your division. You got to play this guy twice a year, and he just lit your ass up twice. I mean, that is concerning going forward, considering – we had a 157.6 rating in a playoff game. He was 21 of 25.
You had more touchdown passes than incompletions.
Yeah.
You didn't make him punt. You didn't make him punt in December or January.
Yeah. And now he's only going to get better. I mean, he's not even, like, technically hitting his prime yet. Let's get to Steve. He's in Fall River. Steve, what's up, man?
How are you guys? Fitzy, let me channel my inner...
Yes.
Ted Koppel, and ask you again when he would like, I'm referencing the Al Campanis interview. You want to explain again how losing by 30 points wasn't their biggest problem? I'm going to give you a second bite at the apple here to convince everybody why that wasn't a big problem.
What are you talking about?
Losing by 30 points.
That's a big problem.
It's a big problem.
Let's leave that alone. Let's start again. You watch that game.
Steve?
Yeah, you watched that game, the Buffalo game, and you saw Joan Williams get beat on a touchdown, right? The former slot receiver from Pittsburgh Steelers that we wanted a few times.
Steve, what's the point?
I heard it talked about. Joan Williams was in your secondary with a guy named Bryant. It's a talent problem. There might be a coaching issue here, but it all goes back to talent. It all goes back to the guy that constructed this team. The quicker that the Crafts come to the realization they are now the 5-7 seed, because you've already said this kid's in your division, and guess what? you got to book them in for the AFC East for the next 5 years, which means you are now 5-7 seed. And God forbid Deshaun Watson comes into your division, or this kid in New York at the Jets doesn't zoom past your guy. Mac Jones could have an exponential increase in his play, but because of the problems we saw across the board on this team in talent, your talent evaluators are garbage. You can't be more pathetic than they've been. We heard on the second day or third day.
You've seen the Lions, right, Steve? So you could be more pathetic.
No, wait a minute. No. Gee, Bill might have overspent on some of these receivers. I heard that the first week before free agency was over. Gee, Bill might have spent a little money.
So, Steve, hold on, Steve. What's the point? Do you want them to fire Bill? Is that your point?
That Bill Belichick, if they had any stones, they would hire this kid Daboll, which is what they did with Belichick. They knew him, and they didn't hire him before Pete Carroll. If they liked, it's not Daboll, the guy that just got fired from Miami. If they even respect this guy, bring him in. If you like anybody left in the front office, put the Bill Belichick era, button it up, give him show. You can you ought to laugh at what you watched on TV. Jawan Williams is the 25th pick in the draft that this moron picked. Guess what? Don't tell me about the Detroit Lions. Tell me about the Tampa Bay Bucks who picked at 45. And wait a minute. They got Antoine Winfield Jr., who actually played as a rookie on their Super Bowl team. Don't tell me about the Detroit Lions. Tell me about everybody else who's ahead of us.
Do you think his draft this year was good?
What's one draft? Maybe, but I heard the 2020 draft was good. Glenn Ordway told me how great the 2020 draft is. If there's one guy that's any good, it's Kyle Duggan. If he doesn't take a giant leap and become way better than he took a leap this year. Leap wasn't that good.
All right, hey, Steve, hold on.
If he doesn't become a great – go ahead.
So you want –
I'm very passionate.
Flores is the head coach. Who's the GM?
We figured that out, Steve.
I just told you, if they think anybody in this organization, if they respect anybody in this organization, keep them. If not, how could you do any worse than Jawan Williams, than Bryant, than all this money you spent? They spent 4 transactions to get a tight end. They spent about 100 in the draft picks on Asiasi and the other guy, and two bites of free agents. That's 4 transactions and spent tens of millions of dollars. Meanwhile, in your division, the Buffalo Bills spent 1 transaction on Dawson Knox. In the game that you just saw, that guy got 6 or 7 catches, 87 yards, and 2 touchdowns. You can't get it any more clearer than that. I don't need to go into all the other picks. Knox and your dummies, and you had Bryant and Jawan Williams on the field. You can't get any worse than that. That is pathetic. And if your coaching staff isn't right, that's also his problem. And that's his only shining star, that somebody's a great coach. Well, when he's got Tom Brady, apparently he's a great coach. Otherwise, he's got 9 seasons, he's 1-2 in the playoffs, and he's 500. That's what he is. Okay? So guess what? If the Crafts woke up and got some balls.
Oh, Steve, in fairness, though.
Cut the cord right now.
All right, Steve, I appreciate the phone call. So you got Flores as the head coach. He didn't name the GM. Anybody could do better than Bill, but he can't name one person. Except his answer is, see who you can if you respect anyone there. Okay, so what's the name? So I don't know where he's going with that. The other thing I'd say is this. Nobody's dismissing the fact that Bill had 3 to 4 bad drafts in a row. He had a good draft this last offseason. And to argue like Bill's never been able to get guys unless it's Brady, like in terms of being able to put guys around a team, it's all because of Brady. Let's not dismiss the fact that they won the 2001 AFC Championship game basically without Brady. Brady got hurt. Brady admitted in Man in the Arena he couldn't have beat Pittsburgh that day. He said the blitzing was too much for him. He literally said that on his own show, and they came in and they won that game with Bledsoe. So when you reference that stat about him being 1-2 in the playoffs without Brady, make sure to mention that they won the game against Pittsburgh basically without Brady. And the other thing I would mention is just this. It's not as if Bill has never been able to draft well. He drafted Barmore this year. He drafted Mack. He drafted Ramondre Stevenson. Rob Gronkowski is going to the Hall of Fame. He drafted Rob Gronkowski. He drafted Leighton Seymour in the same year. So Bill has had good drafts. So he drafted McCourty the same year as Gronk. So just to dismiss it like Bill's never been good at his job, That's ridiculous. And for your plan to be just hire Brian Flores as the coach, who had a lot of issues in Miami, by the way. Like, Brian Flores isn't innocent for what happened in the Miami situation. To just make it out to be like, you know, automatically he's going to be a great coach again, I feel like that's something that you're projecting as well. I mean, there's no lock that Brian Flores is going to turn out to be this unreal coach, Fitzy.
No, there's absolutely no lock that he's going to turn out to be an all-time coach. But I think a lot of people like what they've seen. But the whole idea that he had to keep changing coordinators all the time and butted heads with ownership and especially the general manager does raise an eyebrow and might give me a little pause or cause for concern before I just usher him right into the next gig.
One of his best friends quit. Like, yes. One of Brian Flores' best friends quit. He just decided he didn't want to coach anymore. So there's something going on there. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous. So now Bill, the Crafts have already chose Bill over Tom, right? They could have said, hey, well, we're going to do whatever Tom wants. We're going to give him the extension and we're going to fire Bill. They could have done that. If they really wanted to keep Tom, they could have done that. Now, I hate how Robert Kraft basically hides behind, like, there's no blood on his hands with the whole Brady Belichick divorce thing. But nonetheless, they could have already done that. They didn't. They sided with Bill. So now you're going to quit on Bill after 2 years post-Brady? That's ridiculous.
He's already started the rebuild, if you will, and it's going pretty well. And he's got more work to cut out for him. He trusted this year when he brought in a bunch of new faces and new voices and had a lot of young kids from the draft. He decided to trust in some of the guys returning from opt-outs and his veterans and bringing back a Van Noy to basically be the veteran voices to guide the team and maybe seem to farm out a little too much responsibility. The one thing Bill does, aside from show great disdain, actually, he was even nice to the media at times this year. But the one thing we can always count on Bill Belichick doing is learning from his mistakes and trying to evolve. I trust Bill Belichick to rebuild this team, to shepherd and help grow them. You know he wants to get past that Shula win record, and I'm sure he's going to look back at not just the things they did schematically, but the things they did organizationally this year, Barrett, that didn't work, and fix them going forward. Again, it's just going to take time. For God's sakes, how dare a Pats fan show some patience to this whole process?
Yeah, I know. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you up until 2:30. The Patriots have an issue on the coaching staff, and what do you want to see them do this offseason? We're with you until 2:30 right here on EEI.
I don't get that one, man. Like, I think we give too much credit to these Bill Belichick assistants. I mean, I think he would be skipping the line in front of so many qualified people. Whatever happened to Eric Bieniemy? What happened to Byron Leftwich, Ty Bowles? All these guys deserve opportunities before Gerard Mayo. I'm sure he's a young, you know, up-and-coming coach. It's not his turn.
All right, that's Bart Scott talking about Gerard Mayo. So that's another element to the coaching staff that could be gone is Gerard Mayo. Were you surprised at all to see all the buzz that he's getting?
Why is he getting all the... I'm still kind of... Yeah, am I surprised? Yes, flat out stunned. I don't like. I'm sure he's a great football player, good football mind, all that jazz. But like, I just 2 years on the staff working like with the linebackers and being like a defensive assistant, and all of a sudden now at age 35, it's time. Like, hey, every now and again, you're gonna hit on a bright young mind like a Sean McVay, and people have been talking about Raheem Morris, you know, doing better than his record in his short stint with Tampa Bay gives credit to. But like, I just don't see Mayo being ready to build a whole team, have a whole franchise trusted to him when he's never even been a coordinator. Like, what's the rush?
Yeah, I think it does seem quick to me. To Bart Scott's point, though, I don't think he's like skipping some line. Like, if a team wants to take a chance on him, who the hell cares? Like, that's their decision. Like,
that's their choice. Exactly.
Right? I mean, the Rams, you mentioned McVay. Nobody says, oh, the Rams shouldn't have hired McVay when he was 31 and he skipped a line. I mean, maybe they did at the time, but it obviously worked out. So if some team thinks that, hey, Mayo is the future of the NFL, he's going to be this great coach, then go ahead if you're the Denver Broncos and hire him. So I disagree with Bart Scott when it comes to that. But I wonder if it's Fitzy, it's the Mike Vrabel mold, so to speak. And I know that Vrabel, he went to college, he coached under Meyer, then he went to the Texans. But like, think about, it seems like there has been this type of coach over the past, I would say, 5 to 6 years in the NFL that's been hired. Like, the most popular guy that's getting hired is that young, innovative offensive mind, right? Mm-hmm. And Vrabel's like kind of the opposite of that. Vrabel actually, if you look at when he was with the Texans, he was not a good coordinator. The defense actually got worse when he was there.
Oh, they got trashed the 1 year that he was a DC. Wasn't it 3 years with Ohio State, 3 years with the Texans as a defensive assistant or a positional coach, 1 year as the DC, and then he bumps up? But he's just one of those guys you can tell has it. Maybe there's just maybe there's all this word of like there's intangibles or like there's this aura about Mayo and he's got a hyper football intelligence. You want to be the first one so you can say, I got Jerod Mayo. I brought him in for so long.
But yeah, that's what I think. And I think they see that Vrabel.
35?
Wow. That's very young. But I mean, what it was McVay 31? When he got his gig, I think he was 31. So I just look at it, Fitzy, from the perspective of maybe that's what they're looking for is, okay, everybody goes out after this certain type, the Matt LaFleur, the McVay type, the Kyle Shanahan type. Maybe some team is looking at it like, oh, how do we get the Mike Vrabel type that is the leader and he's the guy that, okay, he's going to let his coordinators do their job. But everybody's going to follow Mike Vrabel, right? Who wouldn't want to play for that guy right now, right? He seems like he's one of the most popular coaches in the league. So maybe that's what people see in Mayo is just the personnel. Everything you hear is like he's very engaging. He's a leader, blah, blah, blah. So maybe that's what teams see in him. And maybe they're trying to get out in front of this.
Okay, but Zach Taylor, I mean, how much – this is what, his third year coaching for the Bengals? Are we going to call him a genius? Or are we just going to say like, wow, they had – like eventually the Tampa Bay Rays were going to get good because they were so lousy for so long. They had a million first top-of-the-round draft picks. And the same thing with the Bengals. Like they sucked for so long. Eventually, they got a quarterback and a wide receiver. Listen, there's plenty of other talent. They've got a surprisingly good secondary, as we saw yesterday. Awesome interception by that guy, the slot cornerback yesterday, the one who got caught from behind by Tannehill. They took a kicker, so he's made the right decisions. But is it talent or is it the bright young coaching mind that you need most right now?
Well, it's definitely the talent, but I'm just looking at what teams see in Mayo rather than what everybody else seems to be going for, right? I mean, yeah. Brian Daboll's kind of like the new
been around a lot longer. Yeah.
No. Like I was shocked when I heard this that Mayo was going to be getting all these interviews. That's the only thing I can think of, though, that he's just like an engaging personality. Because one thing that Ian Rappaport told us when me and Andy Hart were filling in for Gresham Keefe, he told us that the Eagles were like unbelievably impressed with Mayo's interview.
Wow.
So maybe that gets around the league and then other teams start to be like, oh, okay, let's at least have a conversation with Mayo to see what he's like. Because apparently he was like incredibly impressive in the room, which makes me think they hired Sirianni, who like couldn't be less impressive in press conferences. Obviously,
well, then don't let him go. Then don't let him go. But the problem is now Belichick has logjammed the ability to keep his next Brian Flores, if you will, or bright young mind because he's got Steven Bryan established on the defensive side of the ball. So
that is true. All right. By the way, breaking news, Adam Schefter put it out there that Tristan Wirfs is out versus the Rams.
Oh, so, wow. That's huge. That's so bad.
That is not good for Tom.
That's not good.
By the way, did you see like the AB thing last week about like when Wirfs went back into the field and he like couldn't plant on that leg? And AB was like, put something on Twitter about how he was right, like that he's playing an injured guy.
Right.
Dude, that guy is, I still can't get over
that. I already called you an Uber, buddy. Yeah. Hashtag Himothy.
All right. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you up until 2:30. We will get back into Tom Brady as well. Are you pulling for Tom? Do you want him to win? And do you think this is it for Tom Brady? Is he actually going to retire? Barrett and Fitzy with you to 2:30 here on EEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.